This is the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, the 13th chapter. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him, and during supper Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them." And when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the others, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So tonight, we enter a story. Tonight, we enter the feast of the Paschal Triduum, or the 3 days. From now until daybreak Sunday morning, we are in one worship service that will take us liturgically from this sacred gathering of which we just read between our Lord and his disciples around the remembrance of divine liberation of God's people to the cross and through death. It is a journey that our faith claims is the only path to life, but we're not there yet. Tonight we are given commandments as to how we are to live as disciples of Jesus on this side of the journey in the meantime. Tonight we are reminded that the eternal life promised in baptism isn't something reserved for the great by and by. It begins here and now in the dirt and the mud of this world. Tonight we are told of an eternal kingdom in which we love one another as Christ loved us. And at the center of our liturgy is a Eucharistic meal. The body and blood that our Lord willingly gave while in this world are present with us again in this world. It is the soul and center of what we do in worship in these 3 days, as it is every Sunday. At the center of our story, however, is this bizarre ritual we only hear about in John's telling of Jesus' life. It is a performative act. Jesus takes off his outer robe, girds himself for the task of the lowest of servants, literally washing the dirt and mud from his disciples' feet. There is symbolism there. that is not entirely dissimilar from the meal that we put at the center of our liturgical rituals. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and all people for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus says in the other three Gospels, unless I wash you. You have no share in me, he says here. What seems more obvious to me in the celebration of the meal is also true here. This is not simply about the mandate from which Maundy Thursday derives its name, the command to love one another. It's not complete without the requirement that we are equally willing to receive love. Jesus gives his body and we are instructed to take and eat of it. Jesus girds himself to stoop at our feet and we are told we have no part in him unless we assent to being served. It is the world, not our Lord, that tells us there is shame in needing our neighbor's help to get through the day. Satan divides us into makers and takers. Satan tells us there is honor in the one and shame in the other. Jesus tells us we must wash one another's feet, which means we must be willing to be washed. Jesus tells us to love one another, which means we must be willing to be loved. We cannot have one without the other. The kingdom is predicated upon the interplay of each, the being loved and loving, giving and receiving. We are called to do both. But I find we allow ourselves far less practice at receiving. I find we have internalized the shame that the rulers of this world would attach to receiving. I find we have internalized the heresy of rugged individualism that tells us it is our task to master the weight of our own burdens first, and then seek out those pathetic masses in need of our aid. But that is not the story we enter tonight. In this story, we must be washed to have a part. In this story, our Lord falls three times under the weight of his own cross before allowing Simon of Cyrene to shoulder the burden for him. In this story, the Lord, who freely gives his very life to save the world, received help from this world. In this story, Jesus doesn't reverse the relationship between master and servant or giver and receiver. He obliterates the distinction. This is the inaugural story of the reality in which there is neither slave nor master, male nor female. The glory of God is revealed in this story. It's not revealed in the dominant power of empire. I hope that much is clear after 2,000 years, but neither is it revealed in charity, begrudgingly bestowed upon those for whom we have pity. The glory of God is revealed in the mutual act of love, the giving and the receiving. It is a secular pattern with a snowball effect, and I don't have the words I wish I did to describe it, but I think John is getting at it when he writes, "If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself." See, if I'm honest, I've always struggled to understand that verse, but it hints at the mutual nature of the Father and the Son, the Trinitarian give and take of the one that we call God. And if Jesus commands us to love one another as he loved us, it is an invitation into that dance of giving and receiving, of loving and being loved, of body and blood and wind and spirit. This is the story of Jesus entering the fullness of our story, so that we may be part of his eternal story. And I think there is something of that in John's mention of the Father glorifying Jesus and being glorified in him. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't explain it, but maybe that's the point. Maybe it can't be explained in words. Maybe it has to be experienced. And maybe that is why all four Gospels tell of it in ritual, the washing of the feet or the breaking of the bread, something that is experienced. Maybe that is why in worship we invite those who gather to come forward and live it out. Put out your hands and receive the body and blood of our Lord. Don't attempt to take it. Hold your hands and practice being dependent. Hold them out and wait until it is given, trusting that it will be. Live out the mutual dance together. Let us practice that. Because in the end, well, spoiler alert, not the end, in the middle, we are all beggars before the Lord. And none of us makes it to that point in the story alone. So welcome. Welcome to the Paschal Triduum.